It may be the first time you've heard the actual voice of Jordan Roberts on an episode of the best podcast in higher education, but that voice's influence has been reverberating through at least, good grief, 87 others.
Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see.
It looks something like this.
Ugh.
1.21 gigawatts.
What the hell is a gigawatt?
You're listening to the Hashtag Getting Podcast, brought to you by Auburn University's Samuel Ginn College of Engineering.
You know, it's your lucky day, podcast fan, because you're tuning in to the best one in higher education, the award-winning Hashtag Getting. You know that. It's brought to you by the Samuel Ginn College of Engineering's Office of Communications and Marketing. I'm a communications and marketing specialist. Podcasting is my game. Jeremy Henderson is my name. Joined as always by Buffalo Bill himself over here. It's been a while since we've seen the man in blue, but what off season? That's what I say.
Well, I had to take a little time to get myself together.
Oh yeah,
after the
playoffs. Wasn't it like a crushing loss or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, but that's the way the Bills lose.
The
is usually, again, like I said, it's not my first missed field goal, and it won't be my last.
Oh, Tatanka. So
you take a month off for every Josh Allen interception. Is that how that works?
Well, then I wouldn't be here if I did that, but he did have the most touchdowns.
So. Oh, yeah. Did you hear that? Jordan Roberts, but I'm getting ahead of myself. That's Austin Phillips, the director of the Office of Communications and Marketing, the co-host with the co-most. Austin, before I forget, we have old Star-Spangled Banner himself, Scott Key.
Who America's favorite student worker.
We are going, I tell you what, this guy knows how to do it. You know?
Yeah, they've worked.
Twisting knobs.
Yeah, it's recording.
Heart and throbs.
Yeah.
Very special guest today. One I'm excited to get to know a lot about because, frankly, Austin, I have no idea what he does.
Nobody does.
I mean, well, that's what I'm saying. Let me paint you a picture, okay? You go outside in the Carroll Commons. You go outside the concourse. You walk around Wiggins and everything. You're always seeing this one guy, and his name is Jordan Roberts. He's always going somewhere. There is always a problem he is about to fix. And I don't know exactly what's going on, but there are several people. You got your Christian Broadbacks. Mm-hmm. You got your lot. There's a lot of folks out there. You know, your Steve Taylors, even. One, you know,
men of traitor, many, though men of many hats.
Right. Right. Before he left us to go on to the Ivory
to
Tower.
Put another hat.
Yeah.
On.
but this, our latest guest here just seems like he's kind of just like a fixer among fixers. And, you know, where, yeah, the hats aplenty, and I could be wrong on it all. Senior lecturer is technically the title, correct?
That's the title.
But, I mean, the man handle, there's just, I don't know, there's nothing he doesn't seem to have his fingers in and, like, thank the Lord he does, because it always just, I mean, am I wrong here? Tell me, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but it just seems like you are the man.
I mean, after you set that up, I don't think he's going to say you're wrong.
Yeah, help me out. You know,
I have a hard time saying no to things. I think
is that what it is?
I think that's what it is. That's probably the reason that I'm in this position now.
It's probably the reason you're here.
For better and for worse.
He kept me, and he's put it all. You talk about somebody who's put this thing on.
Yeah, I was about to say, he can say no to a podcast.
It's always been like, I think there, but that's the thing. He's not just saying no. We've had some that have. Thanks, but no thanks. And they haven't stuck around too long after that. But we have, it's always, he's always putting others first. He is a background, you know, he does it in the shadows. But he controls those, well, not puppets, I guess. Puppet master is not a good thing to say. But he's always, you know, promoting somebody else. How about this person? What I think you should talk to this. Here's a student I know who was doing incredible things.
Well, in his position, he would have his finger on the pulse of what's going on over there in Wiggins Hall. So.
Well, and before we get to what is going on over there in Wiggins Hall, let's get the Jordan Roberts backstory. Because he, you know, he's friend to all and everything, but let's back up and see how it all began. I mean, where are you from? Let's start.
Not
there.
Birmingham. I think that's one of the tomes that we go around.
Yeah, not Birmingham.
Yeah, what part of Birmingham are you from?
Yeah, we were going to ask it.
Yep, I understand. So I'm from an unincorporated area of Northeast Alabama called Carlisle.
You know, I've never heard of Carlisle.
I know.
If this guy hadn't heard of Carlisle, then...
That's where'd you go to high school, though?
Sardis High School.
I do know Sardis. Now, we've heard of Sardis. I've got Sardis, but I didn't know
Carlisle. It's not the Sardis over by Selma. It's the Sardis close to Boaz, Gadsden.
Yep.
All right.
Hey, number two finisher in the baseball state playoffs last year, by the way.
Well, how about that? Were you on the team?
Throwing down the baseball 25 gauntlet,
years
huh?
ago.
Did you play on the team?
25 years ago.
What was the Sardis, the nickname?
Lines.
Okay, Sardis Lines. Y'all ever play Hueyville or whatever that place is called? Hueytown, my bad.
What class is Sardis?
We were 3 and 4 when I was in school. They're 5 now.
Yeah.
So,
we wouldn't have.
No. Rock and roll. What's it called? What was the town? Unincorporated area?
Carlisle.
Carlisle. Well, what about engineering? I mean, what got you into engineering?
I was always interested in flying planes, and I wanted to get into the Air Force. My daddy was in the Air Force during Vietnam, and I was like, you know, this is always cool. I love that. And had my paperwork to try to apply to Colorado Springs, the academy. And you can't fly planes when you're blind. So
I didn't want to say anything, but those things look pretty thick. Yeah.
Have you met Tyler?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can kill ants on a sunny day with these spectacles.
I'm telling you.
Your listeners can't tell, but these are Coke bottles, friends. But no. And so, well, you know, grew up on a small, I guess you'd call it a gentleman farm, right? My dad and my granddad both did farming equipment and stuff like that. So it's like, well, that kind of fits. I didn't have a great plan. I think good Lord's kind of guided me even through my ignorance. Through a lot of my life.
That's when he does his best work.
That's right. He is his strength's made known through our
He takes the worst clay and makes the best pots.
I'm telling you. Well, I don't know about the best pot.
That Carlisle clay just molding in his hands. I thought you were about to say something. My bad.
No, I'm listening to the Jordan Roberts story.
Well, I know.
Tractors.
It is
and
a good
all
gentleman farm. That's what I like. That could be the title of it.
Basically, that's the nice way to say it. We made a half an acre of tomatoes, and that was about it. Okay. That,
you know,
we got the 20 acres and, you know, one working tractor. And no, I mean, it's not that bad. But
well, when you say into planes as a kid, I mean, we're talking posters on the wall. We're talking models and glue. What are we talking?
Posters, books. You know, you've probably had a lot of your – I did my homework last night. I looked up and 87 of your previous 252 guests on the hashtag Getting Podcast are my former students, by the way. Just so you know.
Now, that is the coolest stat ever.
That's a Getting
How many?
Right there. 87.
87, yeah. I tell you, I'll be honest with you. I was like, I don't know if
How
I want to do this.
How old are you?
1,042,000 I looked, I was like, man, I don't know if I'm, I got stuff going on. And I saw your number two guest, which should have been your number one guest, which was?
Wait.
Mike Ogles was our number two. Yeah, but as we said, because Mike's is the only one we've ever replayed. And we replayed it with, we talked a little bit about Mike after he passed. We replayed it. But we say in that Mike would have been the first, and the only reason David Roush was the first is we had just had the Beauregard tornado.
Right.
And the topical nature of the work that David does, it was just too timely.
You know,
but we had set up Mike to be the first, and then the tornado happened, and it was the timing was too
much. Why don't I just go back and change the dates?
And delete David.
I mean, I'll just change the dates. Those early ones were a little rough.
Hey. There's going to be another tornado. We could have David.
Sure.
On.
Yeah. We'll have one.
Not here. Yeah. But so that's the thing. David goes around the world.
So Mike Ogles was your student. That's pretty cool.
No. Mike was not my student. I was just saying. We're just talking. We this is the wandering world of podcasting.
Okay. Well, I was talking about your students.
Students. Yeah. So we're talking about planes. So a lot of your folks have probably said, "Oh, I went to a space camp as a kid."
Yeah.
Did you know that there is at the same location something called Aviation Challenge?
I did not.
It's not space. It was for planes. So we got in, you know, fighter simulators and did that whole thing.
I didn't know about Aviation
Challenge. One of my counselors was a bull from Night Court.
What?
You are Richard kidding Mull? Me.
Dead serious.
Are
I got,
you
I got
kidding?
A picture somewhere
this is
in my mom's
wonderful.
House.
You know, I just started watching it again. Yeah. I mean, it's literally one of my favorite shows of all time, so I had to go back and start watching
what?
It.
What? What? Well, okay.
So, yeah, I was that level into planes, right? And you would think, well, what? Why didn't you go into, you know, aerospace? Tractors, man.
So Bull from Night Court, was that into planes?
Yes, yes.
You know, I don't remember seeing him in anything else. Maybe you just...
Oh, Richard Mull was in some other things.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, y'all.
Well, let's get back on track.
Sure.
We're in Carlisle. We're not going into the Air Force. How do we end up at UAB?
So, I went, toured a lot of places. I really wanted to come to Auburn. And at that time, it was the only place I didn't have a full ride scholarship to. Yeah, that's just... You know, Jessica Taylor wasn't on
yeah.
scholarship.
We needed
yet,
her,
right?
We needed
and
her.
Had to get, yeah, but yeah, and so it was really a financial thing for. I just didn't want to stress my parents with that, and so I ended up going to UAB, and they had a cool program.
Yeah,
called,
they had great program.
I think it was called Industrial Scholar. So that you got a scholarship, but you also had to work for a company. So I worked for a Southern Ductile Casting Company for a couple of years. It's a ductile iron foundry. It was a ductile iron foundry in Bessemer. So I did that and went to school. And UAB back
in
the day.
You hear where he's talking?
Bessemer.
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 You know what my address was?
Bessemer.
6739 Sunnydale Drive, Bessemer, Alabama, 35023.
He claims Hueytown, but the mail came to Bessemer.
I went to Hueytown, but unincorporated Jefferson County is Bessemer.
Right. There you go.
Oh, well, so, hey, okay.
Yeah.
And this was in mechanical, just to confirm.
Okay. Yep. Into mechanical. Kind of to tie where that led me to Auburn, it's a small program. I graduated with 6 people, okay, in mechanical engineering. We're about to graduate 120, so just for differences. But I had a really awesome professor for a lot of classes, Dr. B.J. Stevens, who wouldn't let us call him doctor. He was a PhD, PE, worked on the F-100 for Pratt & Whitney and did a bunch of other cool stuff. But that ain't on my birth certificate. Because he was just kind of
like
himself.
Though.
He didn't.
I
know,
like it.
You know, right?
Let's talk to Mario. Maybe we can implement that.
Hey.
I like that.
But, when you got the goods, you don't have to have the title. You got the goods. You know,
was there Tom Talbot there? When
yes,
you were there?
Yes. So Tom Talbot, this is fantastic. So Tom Talbot came in, Dr. Talbot, came into my intro to engineering in fall of 1999. And this was on quarters.
Oh,
quarter,
sorry about that. Lord.
Quarters, right? And made a huge impression on what it means to be an engineer, engineering licensure, and the ethics and everything involved. And our measurements and instrumentation laboratory that I taught for 12 years is the Tom Talbot.
Yes, it is.
Measurements laboratory. Yeah. So that was kind of a full circle thing for me.
That's
really,
awesome. That's really awesome. Yeah. So yeah, Tom was ended up being dean. Of the department at UAB. We just got him into the Hall of Fame last year. Unfortunately, he passed away right before the ceremony, and I know they were really looking forward to it. But then, you know, Tom's an Auburn grad. He's been a big supporter of our program. And as you mentioned, named that lab up there many years ago. And I actually got to work on that naming.
That's
so
cool.
That was a lot of fun. But so how do we end up at Auburn for our master's and our PhD?
Yeah, so this is that was kind of a weird time. So I graduated, I walked in May and did the I was on the Baja team for my senior design, and the race wasn't until June. So I walked with an incomplete. Fun times.
Oh, and then been there.
yeah. We still think Jeremy's got an incomplete.
Well,
don't call Mary Martin. That's all I'm saying.
But yeah, so we went to race and then graduated. And then I spent that summer and fall just kind of at the house. I'd lost my dad in my junior year, and so was still feeling some things out. During that time, BJ, my professor, had found Carlisle, Alabama, and had come up to visitation and just gave me a came dressed in a three-piece suit, gave me a big hug, said, son, you take care of your family. We'll worry about your school when you're done. That's really, I think, one of the biggest influences on why I got into teaching. But in that, you know, interim time between graduating and coming to Auburn, I was literally coaching football and hauling hay and just kind of like, what am I going to do with my life? And I went to a basketball game, Sardis High School basketball game, saw one of the guys I'd played baseball with in high school and said, hey, I've got a room in the spring if you decide to come down. I was like, okay, cool. So then I came and drove down and walked into the old Ross Hall, pre-renovation Ross Hall, and I came into Dr. Flowers' office and said, I'd like to come to graduate school here. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, I'm here. And so that was pretty cool. And then got into a lot of fun over the next few years for that. But that was how I got down here.
And what about the decision to take a position as a lecturer here? How did that opportunity come about? And I'm sure it sounds like it was an easy decision to make.
I think it was. So I'd been working as a GTA for a number of years. And Dr. Dave Dyer, who is I think it's okay to announce
he's
retiring after 59 years of illustrious service to the
longest
the
term, longest ever.
Yeah. He was our department chair at the time and said, if you'd like to teach a class after you just graduated with your master's, you know, the opportunity's there. I said, yes, I'd like to teach what's open measurements. Awesome. And I ended up teaching that every semester, fall, summer, spring for 12 years. And so that was while I was finishing my doctorate. And I think I literally graduated on a Sunday and started teaching the next Wednesday or something like that. But it was the effect that BJ Stevens had on me, that I saw what could be done when somebody really cared. I don't think I'm as smart as he was, but when you really care and your students know that you really care, I think that makes a huge difference. That's why I want to do it. I've loved 99.9% of it since.
Well, let's talk about the 0.1%. What's been the worst thing? No,
this okay. podcast.
No, yeah, yeah.
Well, loved every so second. You are in charge of the DML lab. Is that correct?
The design and manufacturing lab.
Yes. And so we received a donation not too long ago from, I believe, the Montgomery family. Foundation, not Auburn grads, who are huge supporters of what this college does. They've named the computer studio in Brown Copel as well. Just a great family, a great supporters, but a sizable donation to help this lab that, it, you know, is one of, again, we always talk about the makerspace being kind of the crown jewel, the showpiece when we have our tours. DML Lab is right there in the same conversation. I mean, you talk about it's a photographer and a videographer's dream for us in terms of when we want to promote that hands-on learning opportunity. But just talk to us a little bit about what goes on in that lab, what classes, you know, the amount of students you have, and then what this donation is going to do for upgrading the equipment in there.
Absolutely. So we have 160 students in the fall and spring. So that's 320 in the summer, can be a little bit variable. So we'll just say about 400 students a year. Our mechanical engineering undergraduates are required to take this class. And the largest portion of it is being in the lab, hands-on. And we give them obviously some background knowledge. You know, the first thing we do is safety. So we have to understand how to safely operate, how to safely, you know, just be in the space. Emmanuel Winfield's been real helpful with that. And we're not trying to take the place of a manufacturing program with one semester, right? It's just not, that's not the purpose. But a good mechanical design engineer understands how things are made so that we won't get yelled at by the machinist who knows how to make things when you give some garbage drawing that cannot be manufactured with unobtainium and lasers, right? It's just,
yes.
And so that hands-on learning is just, you can't replace it. You just can't. And that's the thing that I think Mr. Montgomery and myself really, I think, hit it off, that, you know, his joy is to see undergraduate engineers be able to put their hands on, make something, produce a viable product, and learn from that. And that's, yeah, same thing. And so that's kind of the class. Here's drawings. Here's some background. Here's the material. You make this product. And, you know, we've got 400 students a year who do that. And then they can come back and make all kinds of things. They can work on their cars, trucks, planes, trains, and automobiles, and anything else that they, you know. You've had quite a number of entrepreneurs come on this podcast.
Yes, we have.
And so making things, it's always making something. It just is. And so we're just really thankful that we have the support of the Montgomery Family Foundation to have the amount of equipment available to learn. So we'll have some CNC equipment, so computer numerically controlled equipment. We still have manual equipment, that haptic feedback from, you know, there's just something when you run an end mill into a large chunk of metal, it just feels different than running it through the air. It just does. And you should know that. And so, they have the CNC, in-between CNC and fully manual. We have an incredible inspection area, so we'll be able to, you know, you guys will come over there and we'll just scan you as a person and be able to have, you know, your, you know, geometry there.
I hope you got a big scanner.
You son of a...
Oh, I was talking about myself. I've let myself go a little bit, Jerry.
Well, okay. I checked with the folks, and they said we can scan up to an F-150, so we're barely covered. They can almost get me.
I'm barely a Volkswagen over here.
I tell you what, that the fundamental stuff that you're talking about, there's so many professors. It just seems Auburn's just got a... We have a great legacy of that. You talk to everybody. I talked to David Dyer, you know, interviewing him about, you know, his years here, and he stressed the same kind of thing. Tom Birch, same sort of stuff. And then now Jordan Roberts carrying the torch.
Well, great mentors, by the way. And those gentlemen and a lot of others, and Rick Williams and Jeff Suling have been, and others, I won't forget somebody, but have been really great mentors to me over the last 20 years. So, yeah, it gets passed on.
All right, let's do another 20. You got another 20 in you?
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
We're
going to be writing about him. Look out, Dyer.
Yeah. Oh, JR's coming for you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Only 39 years to get it.
Jordan, I know you've loved every second of this, but we're going to have to say goodbye right
now. Oh, man.
We
really?
Got,
that was
yeah,
quick.
Well, we Told got you, another of those.
Hey, when you're having fun, time passes.
That's right.
And anyway, but can't thank you enough for finally, saying yes, finally stepping into the limelight. This will probably change things for you. Mm. It has, like you said, all those eight. I can't believe it's 87 students.
I had to count, man. It was kind of crazy.
Which one was the best? Just whisper it.
The best? It's hard, but honestly, one of the all-timers has got to be Dr. Chad Rose.
He was one of yours? I can see it. The beard. That was probably what it is. Anyway, Jordan, can't thank you enough. War dang Eagle.
War Eagle, fellas.
You're listening to the #Getting podcast, brought to you by Auburn University's Samuel Ginn College of Engineering.